Imagine a WhatsApp group where the Minister of Health is called Little One. The Prime Minister is called by his nickname, Planky. Members of the group include two figures from the Zagreb criminal underworld and head of the local branch of Croatian Institute of Public Health. They're arranging the purchase of robotic surgical devices for Croatian hospitals. The problem is that the hospitals don't actually need those devices, and they're being sold well above their real price so everyone involved can profit. One participant writes that Little One personally called the hospital in Split and ordered them not to buy a competing device. Those messages ended up in an investigation by European Public Prosecutor Officer EPPO. And at the exact moment when European investigators got hold on the most sensitive material in the recent history of Croatian justice, became the trigger for an institutional war that has now lasted 2 years and whose conclusion is currently being written in Luxembourg. Hello and welcome to the Lens EU podcast. My name is Filip Raunić. I'm podcast host at Croatian portal Telegram. Today we are talking about EPPO, an institution that sounds like a dry legal acronym, but it's actually at the center of one of the biggest dramas in Croatian justice over the past 2 years. EPPO, the European Public Prosecutor Office, has existed since 2021, is headquartered in Luxembourg, and is led until the end of this year by Romanian prosecutor Laura Kovesi. 24 of EU's 27 member states take part in EPPO, Croatia among them from the very start. The institution exists to prosecute corruption and fraud against the EU budget. And that's exactly why it's so interesting when EPPO opens an investigation against Croatian minister, and domestic prosecution, to put it bluntly, takes the investigation out of their hands. Today I'm discussing this with my colleagues Jasmin Klarić and Dora Kršl from Telegram, who have covered this story from the front row. We'll go through three things: the Beroš case, the geodesy case, and the major jurisdictional dispute currently playing out before the EU court, which could change the rules of the game for all future cases in all 24 countries. Later in the episode, we'll also hear from colleagues in Poland and Lithuania. November 2024, Friday morning. Croatian police knocks on the door and arrests Health Minister Vili Beroš, the most popular Croatian minister and politician of the COVID pandemic era. Prime Minister Plenković removes him from the office very same day, at a speed rarely seen from this government. Falling alongside him are neurosurgeon Krešimir Rotin, who runs a Zagreb polyclinic, and businessman Saša Pozdar, whose company supplies medical equipment. At the first glance, the story sounds familiar. Beroš is suspected of approving the purchase of expensive robotic devices for the hospitals, overpriced by 20 to 30%, which part of that money flowing back through a network of people and companies. What further inflamed the media was the appearance of names of well-known figures from Zagreb underworld. And that very WhatsApp exchange, the one with Little One and Planky mentioned at the start, becomes one of the key pieces of evidence. But what makes this case special isn't corruption itself. Unfortunately, we're used on that. What's special is that two prosecutorial institutions collide head-on. EPPO has already been quietly investigating the case since July of that year, half a year before the arrests even took place. Croatian State Attorney Office only launches its own inquiries a few weeks earlier and carries out spectacular arrests that very Friday morning, flooding the front pages. The same day, EPPO formally opens its investigation against Beroš and seven others and asks the State Attorney Office to hand the case over to them. Chief State Attorney Ivan Turudić refuses to do so and decides on his own that his office, not the EPPO, has jurisdiction over the case. And that's where the real conflict begins, the one we'll get into in the third block. Jasmin, it's nice to have you here in this studio again, first time in EU Lens podcast. EPPO got into this half a year before Croatian State Attorney did. Why did, in your opinion, state attorney move so quickly and take over the whole story?
Well, it seems pretty simple. The answer seems pretty obvious. State attorney wanted to get communication devices, cell phones and laptops from health minister before European investigators could do so. It's only viable explanation for everything that happened because it's impossible to make such investigation in only few weeks. There is another investigation now in Croatia that is made by the state attorney and his investigators. It's about allegedly corrupt deals in one small county in Croatia. It's about 50,000 euros, and they said that they are investigating that case for 1 year, and they investigated health minister in 2 or 3 weeks. Come on,
fascinating.
I guess that the only real reason is to get the communication devices of the health minister before the European investigators, because state attorney is close to the governing party, and there will be no surprises from these devices for the governing party and for the governing politics. We saw how many problems could be made for the governing politics when state attorney before this one gets mobile devices and cell phones from one lower employee in the ministry of in one ministry in Croatia government. It's known in Croatia as Rimac case, and there are few, maybe even 5 or 6 investigations that only were drawn from that mobile devices, and there were also some texts that were mentioning initials AP, and everybody thinks it's the prime minister, and after that that case was shut down.
That was a really juicy story, but it's another story. I think you already gave me half of an answer, but that mobile phone, in your opinion, is then the reason why the ruling coalition led by the Prime Minister Andrei Plenković very quickly side with the state attorney in their clash with the EPPO?
Of course. I mean, I think that the main reason why Mr. Turudic became state attorney is this legal possibility that he decides in conflict of competence who will lead the investigations, national state attorney or European investigations investigators. And I think that that was the main reason why Turudic was named on that position anyway, because it was a very unpopular move. We had the demonstrations here in Zagreb with a few tens of thousands of people demonstrating against naming Mr. Turudic state attorney, but Plenković did it anyway. And we guessed at that time that there must be a very fat reason to do something like that. And in the case of health minister, it proved that there was a really good reason to have somebody who can control European investigators and who can decide when something like that appears, some problem of conflict of competence, who will then investigate that case further.
Dora, it's nice to have you here. Thank you for your time. I'm really excited to talk to you about EPPO in Croatia. Let's step back for a moment. Dora, you uncovered the geodesy affair, the case in which money was taken from the post-earthquake reconstruction funds. Because of that case, EPPO chief Laura Kovesi said that Plenković was creating a smokescreen. Can you walk us through the details of this case and conflict between Croatian state attorney and EPPO?
Yes, of course. So geodesy case was absolutely the first case in Croatia where the conflict of competence between state attorney and the EPPO was mentioned. Not launched, but only mentioned. It was really significant at that moment. It was the end of 2023. That this issue was brought as a topic to Croatian public by Croatian Prime Minister Andrej Plenković, because he disputed whether the EPPO should deal with this high-profile corruption case, which was going in the direction of his own Minister of Culture and Media. So in a nutshell, the geodesy affair was a multi-layered subsidy fraud scheme involving the embezzlement of the EU funds, all centered around the Faculty of Geodesy in Zagreb. So first, under the guise of, you know, an EU-funded earthquake research project, the faculty leadership bought luxury cars that professors then ended up driving for personal use. Second, for a hydrographic research project, they bought a luxury yacht.
Wow, nice.
That's the favorite part for me.
Yeah, so they claimed it was for scientific research, but the yacht was literally advertised as perfect for family cruises, and they actually ended up renting it out to tourists as a charter boat. So they didn't use it for any kind of
research. Maybe the tourists did the hydrography research with that boat.
Yeah. And yes, the third and the biggest piece of the puzzle involved embezzling money meant for 3D scanning of cultural heritage sites damaged in Croatia's massive 2020 earthquakes. So the Minister of Culture, as we discovered at Telegram, she personally bypassed the public bidding process and handed over about 3 million euros to the Faculty of Geodesy, to those guys with cars and yacht, and she gave them the job. In the end, as we discovered, it turned out a huge chunk of that money was stolen too. So as our investigation knocked right on the door of the Minister of Culture, who happens to be a very close ally to the Prime Minister Plenković, he, the PM, suddenly questioned whether the EPPO even had jurisdiction over this case. And he openly claimed that all the money paid out for that specific job came from national funds and not the EU funds. And here's something interesting. While the Prime Minister was claiming that on a press conference, the money was still officially booked under EU funds in the state budget, and they only changed the bookkeeping months later. So he was lying.
And he was so furious then. He was moving the microphones of the TV crews around.
Yeah, I remember that.
He
this
put
is
one
EU
microphone
money,
on the
this is
on
Croatian
one end
money.
Of the space and the other on the other end, and said, "This is Croatian money. This is EU money. EPPO cannot investigate Croatian money." So I don't remember seeing him so furious. And maybe he was also a little bit scared then. But now it's okay. He got Turudić and it's under control.
And that's only, Dora, the small part of the clash between Croatian government and EPPO. Kovesi smoke screen and the thing that Yasmin mentioned. What was Plenković's key message to the EPPO?
Speaking about specific high-profile cases, Plenković was actually arguing and claiming that the EPPO has no business there. In essence, he was telling them to keep their hands off his ministers and his government. I'm putting it simple, implying that the EPPO is actually some kind of part, part of a political conspiracy against him. So in fact, he speaks of collusion when it comes to high profile cases, and specifically when discussing the geodesy case, which we mentioned. He openly told our journalist that we, Telegram, are in collusion, and when asked with whom, he replied, "You know very well with whom," actually alluding to and implying the EPPO, even though he did not say it explicitly. So yes, he sees the EPPO as part of a political conspiracy against him and his government, and appointing Ivan Turudić as the Attorney General, a man who is publicly known as HDZ's boy. That's the part of Plenković's response to this, as he sees it, political conspiracy against him. And therefore, the HDZs, so the Prime Minister's ruling party, appointed a man as Attorney General who publicly and openly questions whether we even need the EPPO in Croatia at all.
And Yasmin, in your view, how does the Croatian public sees all this? Who has the trust? EPPO or Croatian state attorney?
EPPO. It seems that the EPPO is the only institution, apart from maybe church or military, that majority of Croatians now believe. That's the result of 10 years of Plenković ruling Croatia. Nobody believes anymore Croatian institutions because they are all under political control, and the EPPO is seen as somebody who is at least trying to catch some high profile corruption, because in Croatia corruption is probably the biggest problem right now. It's really mad how corrupt everything is now.
Dora, and now we come to the main part, the story that ties all this together. The question is simple. Who decides when EPPO and Croatian prosecution disagree over who should handle the case?
Okay, so when a conflict of competence arises, meaning when both the national prosecution and the EPPO claim jurisdiction over the same case, according to the act or Croatian law on the implementation of the EPPO regulation in Croatia, the decision is made by the Attorney General, which in our case is already mentioned, Ivan Turudić.
Wow, let's stop for a moment. He is then stands in that disagreement, in that clash, and he's also a judge.
Yes. So wow. He's
judge
actually
and jury.
He's actually deciding on his own case. And that's really problematic. So the interesting thing in this case is that the other party, in our case, the EPPO, has no right to appeal his decision on the conflict of competence, nor can they contest it at any instance or court. So what we know from actual practice, when the Attorney General took the Beroš case away from the EPPO, we saw that he can do this without even requesting a statement or clarification from the other party, meaning the EPPO. So he just, you know, came here and took over the case from the EPPO without even asking them anything, without any possibility for them to contest his decision. So it's only what he says that's the final word.
That's it.
But now we are coming to very interesting development, because Andrei Plenković was regarded as European Union darling, as a boy with great European ties, with great ties in European Commission. But there is some development at this very case about conflict of competence.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe it's important to say that Croatia is not the only EU member state which has this
possibility
for the state attorney to rule on the conflict of competence. So aside from Croatia, 14 other European member states use a model according to which the attorney general is responsible for resolving any potential conflicts of competence. And such application of the EPPO regulation is now before the Court of Justice of the EU. After the issue was raised actually by opposition parliamentary groups in Croatia. So interestingly, as Jasmin, you mentioned, during these proceedings, the European Court requested, among other things, a statement from the European Commission. And the Commission stated that the Attorney General cannot be considered an impartial judicial authority or a court, of course, and that countries with such a solution, including Croatia, are in breach of the regulation, of the EPPO regulation. And now we are actually waiting for the final ruling from the European Court in Luxembourg, and that ruling will ultimately impact the application of the regulation itself across member states.
Let's now hear about experiences with EPPO in Poland. The report was prepared by our colleague from OKO Press, Anna Wojcik.
Hi, it's Anna Wojcik, OKO Press, Poland. Poland is a relative newcomer to the European Public Prosecutor's Office. Participation in the EPPO is voluntary, and the previous government of the Law and Justice was skeptical of further European integration. It refused to join the EPPO when the institution was created. That changed after the parliamentary elections of 2023. One of the first decisions taken by the new Minister of Justice was to begin the process of joining the EPPO. This was also an important political signal. It helped convince the European Commission and other member states that Poland was serious about restoring the rule of law. In the following months, more than 70 billion in cohesion funds and almost 60 billion euros from the COVID recovery fund, which had been blocked because of the rule of law concerns, were unlocked. The EU also closed the Article 7 procedure against Poland, which had been ongoing since 2017. Formally, Poland joined the EPPO on the 1st of June 2024, 2 years ago, becoming one of the last EU member states to do so. In practice, however, the institution only started operating in Poland in January 2025 after the Polish European prosecutor took office. At the moment, there are 14 European delegated prosecutors working in 4 offices in Warsaw, Katowice, Gdańsk and Lublin. Eventually, there should be 24. Even though the institution is still very young, it is already handling more than 19 investigations. And several of these cases have attracted considerable public attention. For example, one concerns alleged fraud involving the government's clean air program, which provides subsidies for replacing heating systems and improving energy efficiency in homes. This is very important in Poland, where air pollution remains a serious problem and many households still rely on coal for heating. The EPPO is also investigating alleged bid rigging in the procurement of trams for the Silesian metropolitan area, as well as customs fraud involving imports from China. Most recently, the European Chief Prosecutor, Laura Kovesi, asked the Polish parliament to waive the immunity of one of the members of parliament from the current governing coalition in connection with an ongoing investigation concerning bid-rigging in the procurement of trams. So far, there have been no indictments and no court judgments concerning EPPO cases in Poland. But this is hardly surprising because the institution has only recently begun its work. Its importance is likely to grow in the coming years. Poland is one of the largest recipients of EU funding. It has received record amounts of European money under the current EU budget and had to spend recovery fund resources very quickly after they were unfrozen. Poland will also benefit from new EU defence instruments, such as the SAFE programme. All this means that the protection of the EU's financial interests is becoming increasingly important, and it is precisely the EPPO's role, so I think we can expect both its visibility and its significance in Poland to increase in the years ahead.
Thank you, Anna. Now let's go to Latvia, where the report on EPPO was prepared by our colleague from TVNet, Andres Timofeevs.
Hello, my name is Andres Timofeevs, and I am a journalist at TVNet Group. The European Public Prosecutor's Office began operating in Latvia on June 1, 2021, together with other EU countries. EPPO deals with criminal cases related to the protection of the EU's financial interests. In other words, it investigates crimes against the European Union's budget. EPPO is certainly not the most common acronym one comes across in Latvian news. I say this as a former news editor, but over the past 3 months it has become increasingly familiar for other unfortunate reasons. In the spring 2026, Latvia State Police, as part of criminal proceedings initiated by the EPPO, detained 21 people, including public officials who are suspected of procurement fraud in state institutions in the field of information technology, amounting to 1.5 million euros. The criminal case was opened at the end of last year and has been classified under the criminal law articles concerning large-scale fraud committed by an organized group and large-scale money laundering committed by an organized group. The investigation found that an organized group of individuals entered into an unlawful agreement to predetermine who would receive public procurement contracts in at least 6 projects funded by the European Regional Development Fund, with a total value of up to 1.5 million euros. The illegal profits were then distributed among the perpetrators. The EPPO also pointed to possible risks to national security, as some of the projects may have involved elections and democratic procedures. For example, one of the companies implicated in the IT procurement scandal had worked on a ballot scanning system used in elections. It is worth noting that this led to concrete consequences. Several signed contracts were cancelled. And by the end of 2025, the EPPO had 55 active cases in Latvia, with estimated total damages of approximately 270 million euros.
Okay, thank you very much. We still owe our listeners one more piece of information, Yasmin. 4 defendants in the Beroš affair we talked about in the beginning have pledged guilty and are headed to prison. What about Willy Beroš, the little one himself? Where is he now?
He's living the best life. He was a few months in jail. When he was exiting jail, he had this book, Factfulness, from the late Hans Rosling, trying to imply and saying that all the things are not as they look like at first. So trying to say possibly that he is innocent. In the meantime, 4 other guys, as you said, said that they are guilty. So Beroš is awaiting for trial. But he first year after he was arrested, he got a very nice salary, minister salary, 6 months of full minister salary, and then 6 months of half of minister salary. That's a lot in Croatia. And after that, he didn't have to be afraid for the money or the job or anything else, because he was appointed. He won on the public competition place of a neurologist in the hospital in the hospital which bought this too expensive device
that from was a hospital sold. That investigators claimed that he was robbing it.
Yes.
And he's now working there.
Yeah, he's now working for them. And of course, hospital is led by the governing party people. They are chosen by the governing party. And that is maybe significant information, because it seems that somebody is trying to make Beroš comfortable and try to make his life easier, and so that he didn't need to think that something awful is happening, you know. And I guess that this trial is going to last for about 15 years, and that he is going to have some small punishment, and everybody will live happily ever after.
Thank you guys, and thank you for listening. Stay with us every week for new episodes of the Lens EU podcast, bringing you in-depth insight into the topics and events shaping everyday life for European citizens.